Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I've read many of your letters over the past weeks, and I very, very much appreciate them. Please keep them coming. I really enjoy them, and they're very helpful to me in this process of recovery. So thank you very much. Let's look today at the first reading, the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 to 9. With their patience worn out by the journey, the people complained against God and Moses. "Why have you brought us up from Egypt to die in this desert where there is no food or water? We are disgusted with this wretched food." In punishment, the Lord sent among the people seraph serpents, which bit the people so that many of them died. Then the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned in complaining against the Lord and you. Pray the Lord to take the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a seraph and mount it on a pole, and if any who have been bitten look at it, they will live." Moses accordingly made a bronze serpent and mounted it on a pole. And whenever anyone who had been bitten by a serpent looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. My goodness, brothers and sisters, what a word. He's trying to bring us to a place over and over again, century after century, not to complain against him, that he is a God who wants to have mercy on us. He is a God who wants to see us live a good life. But so many times we try to take our lives into our own hands. That doesn't mean that, should I brush my teeth now or should I go to bed now? It doesn't mean that. But as you begin your day, consecrate it to the Lord. Tell him you are thankful for him and that you want to follow him. Today is the exaltation of the Holy Cross, and we want to make sure that that cross is being exalted in our own hearts. St. Augustine put it this way: the people who had been bitten by the snakes were cured of the poisonous wounds by looking at the bronze serpent. To be cured by a serpent is certainly a strange mystery. What does it mean to be healed of a snake bite by gazing at a snake? It symbolizes being saved from death by believing in the one who died. Let me repeat that, brothers and sisters. What does it mean to be healed of a snake bite by gazing at a snake? It symbolizes being saved from death by believing in the one who died. Brothers and sisters, you want to trust the Lord. You want to obey the Lord. You want to follow him because he will lead you only to what is life-giving. It doesn't mean that you have to turn to him every time you move your hand or your feet. Give your morning to him. Ask him to bless it and lead you. Do the same for the afternoon and then for the evening. Just a very simple offering of yourself to God. God will hear you and God will bless you. Do not forget the works of the Lord, tells us in Psalm 78. Hearken, my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter mysteries of old. While he slew them, they sought him and inquired after God again, remembering that God was their rock and that the Most High was their Redeemer. But they flattered him with their mouths and lied to him with their tongues, remembering that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. But they flattered him with their mouths and lied to him with their tongues, though their hearts were not steadfast toward him, nor were they faithful to his covenant. But he, this is God, being merciful, forgave their sin and destroyed them not. Often he turned back his anger and let none of his wrath be roused. That's the mercy of God. It doesn't mean that you can just do whatever you want and then count on the fact that he's going to be merciful to you. He knows we're not perfect. He knows we will make mistakes. He knows we will sin. And we come to him and ask him his pardon, and he will love us. He died for us. Would you die for another? It would be a very hard contest, I think, because we do want to help other people, but if it comes to life against life, we're more prone to safeguard ourselves. Brothers and sisters, trust him. Come to him. He loves you, and he loves you so much that he died on a cross for you. You know that? He didn't just die for billions of people. He died for you, and he knows you by name. He knows you. Thank him so much on this feast of the exaltation of the cross. Thank him day in and day out. Thank him for dying for you. Ask him to lead you in the way to fullness of life every day. That's what I want. That's what God wants. Let's join together so that it's what we want. Because I really do hope to be able to see you all in heaven. I do want to be with you. So let's do it as God asks us to do it. The second reading from Philippians chapter 2. Brothers and sisters, Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God the Father highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you acknowledge him? Do you rejoice in him? Do you thank him daily for what he did for you? He gave you the promise of eternal life by dying for you, not for a mass, not for millions of people, but for you by name. He knows you. Thank him. Turn away from your own selfishness. Love him. Pour out your heart before him. The Gospel of John chapter 3, verses 13 to 17 says this. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." Eternal life, brothers and sisters. None of us knows what that fully means, but we know that it's love at the source of all love, wants us to live with him forever. Let us do our part. Obey his commandments. Thank him. Kiss the cross. Thank him for what he has done for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? That his life, that your life, and the life of the whole world might be saved through him. I read something of Father Francis Martin, a priest who died some 10 years ago, and I want to give a reflection on what he said in this area. Note the pattern in the series of narratives in the book of Numbers. We see sin, punishment, repentance, forgiveness, restoration. And here, in Numbers 21, the people murmur, that is, they complain, they gripe against God and Moses. This complaining, he says, is getting very serious. They trust him so little that they cannot accept his provision. There is no food or water. We loathe this worthless food. We see the Lord's response to the complaining. He says, the people are punished for their griping. However, God intervenes yet again in a mysterious way. In looking upon the exalted image of what their sins deserve, the people are saved from death. Jesus on the cross portrays what our sins deserve, and yet when we gaze upon him with faith, we are healed and we have eternal life. Brothers and sisters, thanks to Father Francis Martin, who puts it so well. We want to be a people who see what God has done for us. It's not an action that occurred so long ago. It's an action that its grace is being poured out upon us right now, right at this moment. Thank him for what he has done for you. Thank him for his love. Thank him for his care every day. I really urge you, kiss the crucifix. Thank him and live your life knowing that you have been saved by the blood of the Lamb, by the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You are saved and life everlasting is available to you if you continue to follow him through your life. I mean that. I hope I'll be there. Maybe I'll greet you when you come. I suppose I'm a little behind the Lord, but I want to be there to greet you and to welcome you. Oh, brothers and sisters, he is so good to us. Let me just conclude with saying this. For your own examination of your conscience, listen to this. Do I too fall into the trap of complaining and griping about what I don't have? Does my complaining diminish or deplete my ability to trust? Do I trust him so little that I cannot accept what the Lord is providing for me today? Do I believe that he provides what is sufficient for me? How quick am I to repent and to receive his healing forgiveness? Do I understand that the Lord is eager to forgive me, and to restore the joy of my salvation? Brothers and sisters, are we going to be together in heaven that we may rejoice that we have been given a Savior, a Redeemer who loves us? Think about that. And I'll see you tomorrow. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.